Welcome to Holy Fika. Here we are. We're sitting in the office this morning. That wasn't the plan, actually. But things changed, and it all changed. And I'm going to be telling you that in a few minutes about what changed and some pretty cool stuff. I'm really excited about Holy Fika today. But first of all, just happy Wednesday, and a reminder that we have supper here on Wednesday night. It's our family night, and following supper, which is a community kind of event. So if you're just kind of listening in and saying, huh, I mean, I can go. Yeah, you can go. You don't have to show, you don't show any identification cards or anything like you're a resident or you're a member or you're this or that. All you got to do is show up looking hungry and you get in. And you'll see lots of people from the community. It's a fun night and it's always a great dinner. I can't tell you what it is. I tried to find out, but I don't know what it is tonight. You just have to come and eat what's here. That's kind of the way it was when I grew up. You know, we didn't ask what was for dinner because we knew whatever it was, that's what we were going to eat. And we didn't have a menu choice. We just ate what mom fixed. And it was always good. And it's going to be good here. And so come on and join us tonight. And then afterwards, there is a video study here at the church, kind of a neat thing that's done. Dave Matton leads it. And then the women, a number of the women go up to the Chickadee up on the hill, and there's a women's Bible study there. And I teach confirmation, and then there's children's ministry, and Bill Schoenover has YFC, Campus Life Youth Club here, and all kinds of good stuff. So it's a busy place on Wednesday night, and if you need to just get out and see some people and say hello, come and hang with us tonight. We'd love to see you. So that's the deal today. Well, what do I want to tell you about? I want to give testimony this morning. I really do. There's two great stories that I have to tell you that I think are really special. And they both happened on Sunday mornings here. And they had nothing to do with what we were planning, but simply that God showed up. And I have to tell you that that's always encouraging to me. I always love when people show up. Of course, I love when people show up. There are some of you I would love to see show up on a Sunday morning, but it's always great. It's just fun to see people face to face. It's not about having to be here. It's about getting to be together. And so anyway, I look forward to who's going to be here. And frankly, sometimes when people are gone, it's just kind of discouraging. So Sunday mornings, I'm always looking for that boost, you know, and the last two Sundays, God has shown up in ways that I just haven't seen, and I want to tell you about them. First of all, this Facebooking that we do right now, the tool and the tool that we own, the only tool we had when we began, was my phone. And so we just put my phone on a tripod, and that's actually how we're doing it today. We don't have any big high-tech equipment. We don't have a lot of money invested in this. We don't, I mean, it's really pretty simple, and the phone is used. The sound wasn't as good for the worship services, but for this context, I think it works great. And so Sunday morning has become a little bit more complicated, and now we have a camera, a big camera, and it's kind of a remote camera thing that moves and it does this and that, and it's hooked to the sound system, and now someone who knows how to run it, has to run it. Not just anyone can, because there's detail to it. And so it's just become a little more complicated. Well, a few weeks ago, if you were watching, you know, we didn't broadcast that Sunday morning, and it was because of a tech problem. It was a software computer. I don't even know what the problem was. It's just I just don't get involved in it because I don't get it. And so we weren't on the air. Well, we have one person that really knows how to run that, and that person was out of town. And so during the week, it didn't get fixed. It didn't get fixed. And a high school gal that attends here, just a great gal, is being trained in to do it and is very, very good at it. And she came to me on Sunday morning and said, oh, it didn't get fixed during the week, so we can't use, I don't know how we're going to do the live streaming. Maybe we'll have to use your phone. And I said, well, that would work, but the sound won't be as good. But you're welcome to use it. But would you do one thing before you set up my phone? Would you go into the sound booth and would you lay your hands on the computer and pray? Just ask God to fix it. to heal it, if you would. I know this sounds weird, friends. This is not out of some storybook. And she looked at me kind of strange, like, really? And I said, yeah, just, she didn't say it. You know, she was too kind to say it. But I could read it all over her face. It was like, well, okay. And I said, well, I do that sometimes, Danica. I pray for things like that. And so she said, okay. So she disappeared. And a few minutes later, she's standing at my side. I'm visiting with someone else. And I look over at her, and her eyes are about this big. And she's got a grin from ear to ear. And I looked at her, and she said, everything is working perfect. It was the craziest thing. And all she simply did, she said, was, I prayed for it. And then, like you said, opened it up, turned it on, and just thanked God. And he fixed it. So now you may be sitting there going, well, yeah, that's, you know, how do you know? Well, I don't know what happened. All I know is I once was blind and now I see. That's what I mean. It was broken and then it was fixed. And no one touched it. So, you know, I'm just going, wow, thank you, Lord. And that kind of just gets you all fired up for what is it he's going to do on Sunday morning. That was a week ago Sunday. So last Sunday, Cheryl and I are home Saturday night. And all of a sudden, later in the evening, I'm just not feeling well. And this isn't, I mean, I don't get sick. And I began to get stomach cramps and oh. I did not feel well at all. And by 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, I was just doubled over in stomach cramping and pain. I got up, I sat in the chair, and next thing, Cheryl was up sitting with me. And I just stood there and said, you know, there's no one to lead singing today. I'm the only one on, and I don't even know who I would call now. And I just don't know physically, seriously, how I'm going to do Sunday morning. And this is not the first time I've done Sunday morning sick, but I mean, it wasn't good at all. And so got to the office Sunday morning, kind of hung out in my office, didn't get out and visit with people very much because I was just too sick. Got up on the platform to lead the service and thought, oh boy, this is going to be a tough one today. And how do you get up there and, you know, greet people and do all this? And one of the first songs we sang was Lord, You're Beautiful. And if you know the song, or if you don't know, go online and find it. But the second verse is, Lord, You're Beautiful. You're so good to me. Your touch heals me. And as we were singing that song and standing there singing it, honestly, friends, to God's glory, I felt like a wash coming over me. And all the stomach pain completely disappeared. Completely disappeared. And if you watch last Sunday's service, when you're done today, go back if you want on Facebook and watch Sunday's sermon, and you would never guess that I had been just unbelievably sick at the beginning of that service. So why am I telling you these things? Because we don't talk about it. We act as though it's peculiar. We don't tell these stories. And because we don't tell these stories, we live in kind of this world that says, well, God doesn't really do that kind of stuff anymore. And yet we come to a Bible study like this, and I open up the Bible, and I read you stories about God doing great things. And we all kind of get into the context of, he used to do that, but he doesn't do it anymore. He used to do that, but he doesn't do it anymore. Friends, I know some of you listening live in that realm. And I know that I lapse into that realm. It's as though that's the former, but not the now. The problem is, there's nowhere in the Bible that it says God was going to stop doing those kind of things. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says that God is no longer going to heal, that God is no longer going to intervene. And so what happens when we don't share these stories is that over a period of time, God becomes punier and punier, smaller and smaller, more impotent in our view because we don't hear the stories and the testimonies of what in fact we've experienced. The blind man that was healed, that said, I don't know what to tell you. I can't explain it. I'm not even going to try. All I can tell you is I once was blind and now I see. This is where I was and this is where I am. This is what I had and this is what I don't have now. This is what weighted me down and this is not what weighs me down anymore. And so I had to tell you that this morning. I really want you to know that these are the things that go on. And so week after week we meet and week after week we talk and many of week after week you listen, week after week people go to church. But we never really hear the stories of what God is doing behind the scenes. We hear about him in terms of what he claims, but we don't hear about what he does. And God is very active. And he wants to be active in your life. And so, first of all, those of you who are Jesus followers right now, are investigating who he is. Take even the little things to him. Ask him to intervene in your life in places that maybe you've never asked him. Some of you may have sicknesses, relationships that you've never really asked him to intervene in. Seriously, you've never really asked him. For some of you, it's that you don't think that he loves you enough to intervene. For some of you, you think he's not really concerned enough and it's not that big a deal, even though it's impacting your life. And so you've never asked him. You've never asked him. You've never given him the opportunity to do something in your life. Now, what I've experienced a lot of different things, and what I'm not at all today stating a name it and claim it kind of theology or understanding of God, that name it and claim it. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying bring these things to him. I find that sometimes you ask God to intervene and his intervention is to give you patience, to give you a peace in the storm. He doesn't take the storm away, but he gives you a peace in the storm. But he may take the storm away. He may. So why don't you let him do what he wants to do by bringing it to him? So I had this, I guess I need to say it, call it what it is. I had a healing experience on Sunday morning. Yeah, sounds weird to say. And I'm a pastor saying it to you. And yet we talk about what prayer requests do you have? Well, I had a healing experience Sunday morning. And I'm giving him credit today. The week before, our computer had a healing experience, and I'm giving him credit. I am. And so I invite you. This is just, by the way, I'm on a rabbit trail right now. This is not what we're going to talk about today. But it's something I needed to share with you, because Holy Fika is coffee break. If we were sitting having coffee someplace, whether it would be Wisloe's in Duluth, a little coffee shop I visit, or whether it's a warming shack in Cloquet, or whether it's the Chickadee in Barnum, or whether it's in Moose Lake, or wherever it is that we're having coffee, this would be a story I would tell you. I would say, oh, by the way, I got to tell you what happened to me on Sunday. And so that's what I'm telling you. So all I can say is cheers to God. Cheers to God. Give him glory for it. Well, what are we talking about today? Cheryl always asked me, well, do you have Holy Fika all figured out on Wednesday morning? She'll always say that to me. Got it all figured out? Sometimes I look at her and say, yeah, I know exactly where I'm taking them, where we're going. And sometimes I say, you know, I'm still waiting on the Lord. And sometimes, I mean, it's amazing how these Holy Fikas happen sometimes. I got to tell you, sometimes it's what God is doing in my life has been working on during the week in between us being together. Sometimes it's something very intentional that I sense I need to say to you. Sometimes it's just an opening of the heart of what God is doing in me. Well, let me tell you about what happened today. So I had an idea of what I wanted to do today, and I'm not going to tell you what it was because I'm going to do it another time and I want it to be a surprise. But the cold impacted what I wanted to do. Some of you may not be aware, but the forecast, I don't know if it got there, but wind chill is supposed to this morning have gotten to 30 below, even as low as 35 below. And I didn't even, I kind of get a feeling once it reaches a certain point, what's the difference? And so I didn't look. But I know that when I opened my computer, it said something about it being 15 or 17 below or something straight up, straight down rather. And so it was cold. But here's what I know. Here's what I know. When I went out to start my car that was sitting outside last night, I saw my breath. I saw my breath. And I even went, and I could see it. Now, we don't get to see our breath very often. We really don't. Unless you walk into a cooler or something, you don't see your breath. But all of a sudden, something triggered inside me about seeing my breath. Oh, I know some of you are going, Kendall, what did you have for breakfast? Did you have breakfast? I just had some toast with that Italian Christmas bread toast. It was really good. It had fruit in it. Maybe you're going to say it must have been fermented. I don't know. But I started thinking about the breath of God. I started thinking about the breath of God. And I got to the office and I started typing on my computer as fast as I could about the breath of God because it excited me. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to share with you what God said to me this morning. And what came together, what dots connected as I saw my breath in the cold air. And then when I got done now, and about a half an hour ago, I'm thinking, I should go outside and do this in the cold where they would see my breath while I'm talking. And I thought, no, that would be a distraction. I mean, that would be just kind of plain to the crowd. So I'm sitting in the office where it's nice and warm and toasty. And let's think together for a minute about the breath of God. The breath of God in Scripture is an incredible picture and imagery that God uses to help us know who He is. The breath of God. Amy Grant had a song years ago that was called Breath of God, Breath of God. And it was a wonderful song. The breath of God shows up at the very beginning of Scripture. It's one of the first images, the first pictures that we have of God. The breath of God in Scripture always relates to the deepest part of who God is. The deepest part of who He is breath. The breath of God. But there's something else at the breath of God. Not only does it speak of the deepest part of what He is and who He is, but it also describes how God acts in the world, the breath of God. We're going to do a little study this morning. Yeah, we're going to do a little study on the breath of God because I don't know if you've ever thought about the breath of God. And maybe today when you go out, you're going to see your breath as you breathe out. And when you see your breath, I want you to think about the breath of God because this is an incredible lesson for us to understand about who God is. I don't care if you go to church or don't go to church. I don't care if you, it doesn't make any difference. The breath of God is important to know about. And maybe you're going, I've never even heard about the breath of God. I've never even thought about the breath of God. Well, good for you. Hallelujah. This is a good morning for you. So we know from the beginning that the breath of God is imagery of the deepest part about who God is, and it is the greatest description about how God acts and how God moves. You see, God does not hold God's breath. God is constantly breathing, and what that tells us is He is constantly moving. He is constantly moving. Our God is a God of perpetual movement. Sometimes our image of God is that He's this old, old grandfather God sitting on a throne in heaven, kind of like this, kind of watching us, kind of watching for us to screw up, kind of watching us play it out, kind of just smirking at us. No, that's not God. God did not just create us create it all, and then walk away from it. That's what the deists believed. That's what the deists believed, that God created and then left us to our own, to work it out. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God is constantly at work, constantly moving, never slumbers, never sleeps, never is idle at the wheel. He is always active, always active, constantly moving. The breath of God teaches us of God's continual presence. Continual presence. God's breath, friends, speaks of his life and presence. Now, there are three thoughts about the breath of God. Oh yeah, I've already talked about these things to you. These are the prayer stories. Okay, so there are three things about the breath of God that are helpful to us this morning. The first thing is the breath of God is the breath of life. The breath of God is the breath of life. The scriptures open with a depiction of God breathing over a chaotic cosmos. The first picture we have of God in the world is this world that's kind of just this cosmos with not a lot of order to it. Not a lot of order to it. And then we read these words. Listen to these words. In the beginning, that's at the front end, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless, and it was empty, and there was darkness over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God, which in the Hebrew is the breath of God, Spirit and breath is the same Hebrew understanding in this text. The Hebrew word for breath. You notice the word is a guttural word. It's deep in the throat. You cannot say it without breathing. You cannot say the word without breathing on someone. The word spirit is connected to the word breath. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Breath or wind, spirit, rah, rah, outward, breathing outward. So this opening scene in Genesis depicts God breathing over formless chaos. God's response to the chaos is that he breathes into creation, into existence, order. Think of it. God's breath, God's creative power, takes what is formless and in chaos and puts it into order. Now, let me just kind of jump ahead a little bit, because this is an important thing to understand. So in Colossians, thousands of years later, we read that by his very word, the testimony of the writer, by his very word, the cosmos is held together. The same word from the beginning speaks not only of its creation, but the glue of it. What holds everything together today? The breath of God, the Spirit, the hovering Spirit of God. The God who called chaos into order also holds the creation in order. By his very word, the cosmos. What is cosmos? Everything you learned about in science class, everything that Mr. Hassett taught us in class, everything that Mrs. Lottie taught me in class. Some of you remember those names from old Barnum High School, Hassett and Lottie. They were the ones that taught us about atoms and cells and chromosomes and what life was made of. Remember? Atomic order. What holds it together? What's the glue of those little circles called atoms? The very breath of God. Are you capturing this? I walked out this morning, I saw my breath. And what did I think of? It is the breath of God that holds this whole universe together. God holds this table together, friends. By his word, the atoms, this is held together. By his word, this cup is held together. By his word, my skin is held together. By his word, the cosmos, everything about it is held together. How could Jesus walk through the wall? How could Jesus do the miracles? How he can rearrange atoms? By his word, the cosmos is held together. And so we have this picture of the breath of life. God's breath is the breath of life. He calls it into order. The Bible describes then all living creation. We go to the next step of creation. Not only did he create it by his breath, but he breathes life into it to give it life. You see, creation is more than mechanical. Creation is more than mechanical. It is also dynamic. Yes. Creation includes a dynamic of living. It's not simply what you see physically, it's what is the life that is in it. And so we read in Genesis that all creatures have the breath of life, and that God's breath is placed in all of this. It's his creation. This is my Father's world. Remember, we sing the song? I love that song that we sing. And to my listening ear, we sing that song, and it reminds us of the life that God imparts. But the Bible tells us also that God imparts uniquely life into what is called the human. We read about the creation of the first human, Adam, the first one. And it says, and God formed Adam, the first human being, and then he breathed life into him. What is it that makes you created in the image of God? If God is imageless, where does the image come from? It comes from his breath in you, your life. Your life. Which means that from the beginning, human life has had a sustaining connection to God. You are connected to God by his breath being breathed into you. He gave you breath. He gave you life. And by virtue of giving you life, there is a connection to him. And there is a sustaining relationship with him. This is not merely a past event. It is an everyday event. When we wake up in the morning, actually one of the first things that would be wise to say would be, thank you for breath today, Lord. Because he gives you breath. He gives you breath today. Where do you think your breath comes from? You know where your blood comes from. It's made in your body. But where does your breath come from? You know the stuff in your body that's made, and all this, all the fluids and all the antibodies and all of that stuff. But where does your breath come from? God God gives you breath every day, the breath of life. If you ain't got breath, you ain't got life. You can have blood in your system. You can have nerves. You can have all of that stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have breath, you ain't got life. Where does your breath come from? It comes from God. He gives you the breath of life. Have you thanked him for it? When I came out today and I looked up and I saw my breath, I thought, God gave me that breath today. Thank you, Lord, for giving me breath. Thank you. So the breath of God is the breath of life, but the breath of God is also the breath of inspiration. In front of me, I have this book. It's a Bible. You knew that. It's a book that, as you can see, is a little bit problematic for me now. I'm having a little bit of a problem with this. It's falling apart. Do you see that? It's dangerously close. There's a little bit left holding it up together here. And someone told me I could send it in and have it rebound. And that may be good to do. Although maybe it's time for me to start writing in another Bible. Why do I keep this Bible? Because all my notes are in it. And I've written in the side margins. And this is my study Bible. This is what I've lived with. And so I don't want to get rid of it. It's like, why would I? It's been my faithful friend. It's where God has spoken to me. It's where the thoughts are. But I have to tell you something. From a black and white print paper standpoint, it's no different than any other Bible. In fact, if I were to flip the camera around right now, you would see a whole shelf of different Bibles. And by different, I mean simply the translations may be different, the pictures may be different, but they're all the Bible. With the same value as this Bible. This Bible is no more valuable than any Bible on that shelf. Except that it has a personal value to me because of the side margins. But what makes the book of the Bible valuable is that it is the breath of inspiration. The breath of God is fundamental to our understanding of what this book is. As disciples of Jesus, what we understand the Bible to be and what everyone else in the world understands the Bible to be is different. Maybe even for you today it's different. Maybe you look at it and say it's just a book. It's no different than a book of Shakespeare. It's no different than any other history book or philosophy book. It's no different. In fact, it's older, maybe not even applicable. It's of a former day, a former age. I don't know how you feel about this book today. But the reason that people that are Christ followers hold on to this book is because its origin speaks to the breath of God in inspiration. Here's what the Bible says. Paul writes that this book is God-breathed. God-breathed. Peter writes these words. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture, came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. In other words, what's written here is not simply someone's view of something. Peter said, no. It's not simply this is what the prophet saw and this is what he spoke of. He says, instead, for the prophecy never had its origin in human will. But prophets, though they were human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the breath of God. Oh-ho! The prophets were carried along and spoke as they were carried by the breath of God. It reminds me of those airfoils that carry you along. You know, they raise you above the water, and you go above the water. They hovercraft kind of thing. They carry you along. The air carries you along. What Peter is saying is the prophets were carried along. That's what they wrote. You see, what's interesting is that this book really only has one author. It's actually not correct when someone says, well, who wrote Matthew? Well, Matthew did. Who wrote John? John did. Who wrote Mark? Mark did. Who wrote, you know, who wrote Acts? Luke did. Who wrote 1 Corinthians? Paul did. I mean, we can go on and on and say they wrote them, but they really didn't. There's one author of Scripture. It's God. For all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture comes out from God. God used many people, but there was really one author, carried along by the breath of God. As it is, God's breath inspired the words of Scripture, but here I want to take it one more step. The Bible also tells us that God's breath is what brings understanding of this word to you and to me. It is God's breath that helps us receive this word. If I may use this description, we inhale God's breath as it's found in this word. If I could go further, he resuscitates us in soul by this word. Why is it important to read this word? Because this word is the breath of God on paper. But as you read it, it came into existence by the breath of God. And as you read it, the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, breathes it into you and it resuscitates you, just like a body laying on the ground that needs artificial respiration. You need spiritual resuscitation, and the Word of God brings it, because the Word of God was brought on by the breath of God. You see, it all goes back to the breath of God. Do you realize how important the breath of God is? Have you ever thought about the breath of God before in your life? Aren't you a little excited? Aren't you saying amen? Aren't you standing up? Aren't you jumping? Isn't something happening inside you right now as you think about the breath of God today? Breath of God that tells you the essence of who he is, the breath of God who is constantly moving, constantly acting on our behalf, the breath of God who has resuscitated us. It's so incredible when we read in Scripture on this inspiration. You remember the dead bones in the valley? Look at the dead bones, and all of a sudden the dead bones began to rise. Why did the dead bones begin to rise? Because God was breathing life again into them. And what that tells you is that God can breathe life again. He can resuscitate. And if you're dead bones in the valley today, God can breathe life into you. Maybe you need the breath of God in you. Maybe you need the breath of God in you to be resuscitated, to be inspired again. The opposite of being inspired is to be expired. Oh, you ever thought of that? That was a good one, huh? That was a good one. If you're not inspired, you're probably expiring, which means you're dying. You're dying. Some of you are like those bones in the valley. You're laying there. And then we have the imagery of the tendons and the muscles coming back. But that isn't what made them alive again. Because in fact, as they were observed, they said, well, there was bone and tendons coming back. There was muscle and tendon coming back on the bones. But it wasn't until the breath of God filled the carcass that there was life. And there will never be life in your carcass until God breathes life into you. Never, ever. So the breath of God is the breath of creation. But the breath of God is also the breath of inspiration. Life, the breath of life and creation, the breath of inspiration. But now, one more. Yeah, I got one more. The breath of God is also the breath of the Spirit. The breath of God is what animates us, sustains us, inspires us, guides us. You see, the breath of God is indistinguishable from God's own presence. The word ruach in the Old Testament is a similar Greek word in the New Testament of pneuma. Pneuma. Now, pneuma is spelled with a P-N, so that should give you a tip-off. What is pneumonia? Pneumonia is when your lungs have problems. It's a matter of breath. When you have pneumonia, you can't breathe. You can't. I mean, it's horrible. Some of you have had breath problems. I was asthmatic as a child. I know what it is to fight for breath, friends. I know what it is. I spent twice in my life as a child time in the Cloquet Memorial Hospital because of asthma. I know what it is to sit at night in a lazy boy fighting to breathe. Wheezing, taking deep breaths. I know the fight for breath. It was horrible. I know the claustrophobic feeling. I experienced it as a kid. In the fall and in the spring when there were molds and musts and my asthma would kick in. I know what it was to be an asthmatic kid. I know what it was to be in an oxygen tent in a hospital as a little boy. Not being able to see out of the tents in those days, you would take your hand and go like this so you could see your mom and dad outside the oxygen tent because you couldn't breathe, you had asthma. Pneuma, a problem with breathing. People with pneumonia have that. There are some of you that have breathing problems. I know of one of you right now that has a tank with you at all times. I know your struggle to a certain degree. I don't know what your how it is personally to have the tank, but I know what it is to not be able to breathe. And I know what it does to the body when it doesn't get oxygen. Friends, your spiritual breath is important too. And that's why God breathes into you. And that's why the analogy of Scripture and why God wants us to understand the nature of life and His breath. The breath of God is the breath of life. The breath of God is the breath of inspiration. The breath of God is the breath of the Spirit that animates us so that we can live in the power of God daily. It's amazing how when Jesus came back to the disciples and he established his identity as the resurrected Lord, we read in John these words, and he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus, who was dead, who had lost breath, he was dead, he no longer breathed, he was lifeless. How do we know he was lifeless? He had no breath. How do they check people? How do they used to check people to see if they were alive? They would take a mirror and put under the nostrils to see if it fogged up a little bit, if they could see that the person was breathing. Jesus died. He had no breath. And then he was resurrected and he breathed again. And he met with the disciples. And when he had established that he was once again alive, he was the God of life. Resurrection life now, not just the life of human life like we've been, but he had beat death, lifelessness, breathlessness, and he was now alive again. And John says, and he breathed on us, and he said, "Inhale now, inhale the Holy Spirit, that you might live." Yay, God. Yay, God. Thank you, Lord, for breathing on us. Thank you for breathing into us. Thank you, Lord, for life. Can you say that today? I know it all happened because it's 20 below, 15 below, 30 below today. God says, "I have a lesson for you, Kendall. Look at your breath. It comes from me. Look at your breath in the air. It comes from me. But not simply the breath that's in your lungs, but the breath that's in your soul comes from me. Do you all know that today? Have you received that breath of God? Have you inhaled Him? Have you inhaled Him? Is He what gives you life today? Or are you gasping for breath? Are you gasping for breath? You know, I remember I got put on a treadmill one time. And boy, I got to tell you, they were checking my heart out. And I found myself going, breathing really hard. And the next thing I know, there were two doctors standing next to me, three. And they said, slow down very quickly. And they got me off the treadmill. They said, you're not getting enough oxygen. Fighting for breath. Some of you are like in a marathon, working, whatever it is, you're hard at it, and you're having a hard time breathing inside spiritually. You can't take a deep breath. Can you do that with your soul today? God says, breathe deeply of my spirit, and I will give you life. Well, don't go out in the 20 below weather and deep breathe, because if you take that cold air in, you could freeze your inside of your lungs. I've heard that. They used to say that when you would snowmobile, be careful. You can breathe that cold air and you can freeze your lungs inside. So don't do what I just said outside. But wherever you are, go, Lord, I want to breathe in deeply of you today. And I want to tell you something. When we breathe in deeply of God, and we breathe out, we experience the life, the satisfying deep breath. Have you ever noticed sometimes when things are good, you go, boy, I feel good. You ever said that? I have. Oh, there's times when I've been in Alaska or Canada, and I've been in a setting hunting or fishing, and you come out of the tent or the cabin, and you look out and you go, what a beautiful day. Why did you take a deep breath when you did that? You want to breathe it all in. Take it all in. Well, God invites you to take Him in today. Oh, I know, I'm on the roll. I'd love to preach this. I wish we had church right now. I'd love to get in that pulpit and preach this message. I'll tell you, I got inspired this morning. Inspired, did you hear that? Simply for one reason. I saw my breath. How crazy is that? Well, I trust that you're asking God to reveal Himself to you in the little things in life. And maybe when you go out today and you see your breath, you'll remember what we talked. Well, that was a load, wasn't it, today? Well, you think about it all, and I'm so glad you joined me for Holy Fika. God bless you, and stay warm and toasty, and breathe deeply of the Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen.